Well, good morning, everyone. It's really a joy to be here with you, and our whole family is. It's a blessing for us to be here. Again, my name is Ricardo. I'm the worship pastor at Christian and Missionary Alliance Church in Mountain Lake, which is like 5 hours away from here. But we're just glad and happy to be with you. And you know, as Pastor Joel was saying, this is a time where we want to worship together. So today we're going to talk about the love of the Father, and Pastor Joel told me that some of you may have been reading the book Just Say Father by Fred Hartley, the founder of College of Prayer, and so a lot of what you hear today, maybe you have already read in that book. It's not something that I have come up with. It's something that I just learned, and as we were in Atlanta and for our College of Prayer conference in February, we heard a lot about this topic, and so I just want to pass along to you what I have learned through this book and through the teachings. Now I'm gonna show some slide here. Let's see. There we go. Okay, you might recognize who these two characters are. Maybe some of the kiddos here know who these are, right? Do you know who they are? This little girl here in the orange dress. Do you know who they are? Anna and Elsa, right, from the movie Frozen. Okay, the next one you probably know who this is, right? Who's this? Snow White. Yep, Snow White. And then we have Cinderella. Yep. Tarzan. Yep. Maybe some of the boys know. The little boys know who this is. Okay, those are all fictional characters, right, from cartoons and from movies and all that. The next ones are real people, okay? So maybe you recognize this person. He is no longer alive, but this was Steve Jobs. He was the co-founder of Apple and co-inventor of the iPhone, which maybe a lot of us have right now. Some of you might remember who this is, or who this was, John Lennon from that famous group, the Beatles. You also might recognize who this lady was, Nancy Reagan, the wife of President Ronald Reagan. For you sports fans, okay, the great Bambino, right? Babe Ruth, okay, very, very good. Some say he was the best baseball player who ever lived. Some of you might recognize this man, very famous actor. His name is Jack Nicholson, okay? Now, what do all of these characters have in common? Like I said, some were fictional from cartoons and movies, some were real. They are all orphans, or were orphans. You can go in and read the story of each one of these people, but they were all orphans. According to the UNICEF, which is a world organization, there are 153 million orphans worldwide. And sadly, this number is growing increasingly. I want to share some very alarming stats with you, and this isn't to attack fathers or in any way diminish what important role the mothers play in a family. Okay, I'm just sharing these stats that are real. Over one-third of the children in the U.S. are growing up without a dad. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, 70% of inmates are fatherless. 85% of them are juveniles. Fatherless children are five times as likely to commit suicide, or more likely to commit suicide. 209% more likely to use drugs. 32 times more likely to run away from home. 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. 14 times more likely to rape someone, and 9 times more likely to drop out of school. These are all people or children without a father, without a dad. In the United States, of the 64 million men who have fathered children, only 26.5 million are currently part of a home where they are in any way active fathers in their children's lives. So from these stats, from this information, we see the importance of a father. And today, I want to talk to you about the perfect Father. So let's pray as we start. Heavenly Father, perfect Father, we just come to you this morning, and Lord, we just pray that you would be here in this place. I know that you're here, Lord. I know that your presence is here. And I just pray, Lord, that you would empower me, that it would be you speaking and not Ricardo, that it would be your words and not mine, that it would be your Holy Spirit working in each one of us, Lord. So Abba, Daddy, come and work in a powerful way. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Father's love. We all need the love of God. We all need the love of the Father. Every person on this earth, all 7,846,000,000 people need the love of the Father. We know that God loves us. John 3:16, what does that say? For God so loved the world. He didn't say God only loved the people in the United States or in Minnesota or in this country or that country. He loved the world. He loved all the people. How much does God love us? The Bible says in Ephesians, Paul talks about how wide and how long and how high and deep the love of the Father is. There was even a children's song, right, about that. How much does God love us? Well, I go back to the parable of the prodigal son. You might remember this story where the son, the youngest of the son, tells his dad, "Dad, I want my inheritance money. I'm tired of being here and living here with you and my brother. I just want to go and take my money and live life." And you probably remember the story where he went out and he partied and he did many things that were not supposed to be done by a son, by a man, a righteous man. And he loses all his money. He ends up working at a pig's pen, feeding pigs. And he realizes in that moment that he wants to go back because he in his mind, he says, if I go back to the farm or to my father's place, at least I could be one of his workers. I'll say, "Dad, don't take me back as a son, but just take me as one of your servants." Because that way he thought, I would have a place to stay. I would have good food to eat and not eat what I'm eating right now. And so that's his plan. He goes back to his father. And we read in the Bible that when the dad sees the son from far away, what was the response of the dad? Did that dad wait until his son came to him and he said, "Oh, hi, son, you know what? Let's go in and why don't you take a shower first and then we'll talk because you smell bad." I mean, imagine, you know, working where he was working. Nothing against hog farmers. There's hog farmers here. I'm sorry. Nothing against pigs, but they create a particular smell. The dad didn't say that. Did the dad say, "Son, you know, I'm glad you're here. Why don't you, let's sit down and let's, you know, bring out the checkbook and let's, you know, I want you to give some account to me of what you did. How did you spend the money? Oh, sorry. How did you spend the money? Where's all the money that I gave you?" Did he do that? No. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 20 says, "So he returned home to his father," talking about the son, "and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming and filled with" what? "With love and compassion." Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. He took him back. He didn't ask any questions. He didn't care about how his son smelled or how he looked. He ran and he embraced him and he kissed him. He accepted him just as he was. That's how big the Father's love is, our Heavenly Father's. He accepts us as we are. He will take you as you are right now. You might say, "Well, I don't know because I've done some bad things. I don't know because I'm not a very good person or I don't deserve God's love, etc." God will take you just as you are. Now, why is it so difficult to experience God's love? Why is it so hard to experience the love of the Heavenly Father? There might be many reasons, but I thought of two reasons of why maybe it's hard to experience the love of the Father. The first one is
Because maybe our experience with our earthly father hasn't been a very good one, or wasn't a very good one. Maybe you didn't have a great relationship with your father. Now, to share my personal story with you, I did this with the people yesterday or Friday night. I did not have a good relationship with my dad. My experience with my earthly father wasn't a very good one. I grew up in a Christian home. I was born into a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. Well, actually, we went to church Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. I was in Sunday school every Sunday. I was in the services all the time. My parents were involved in ministry and serving the church, so I grew up in the church. But it was one of those things where my dad was one in church and with other people, and he was a different person at home. And I grew up scared of my dad. I hardly ever talked to my dad. I had no communication with him. I was bullied all throughout school, elementary school, at school and in the church too. My dad never knew about that because I never shared that with him. I was afraid that he might get upset with me. My dad didn't go to my Little League baseball games or my basketball games. So my relationship with my dad wasn't a very good one. Praise the Lord, now my relationship with him is better. But I hardly heard the words, "Son, I love you." I don't think I ever heard the phrase, "Son, I am proud of you." Not until I was an adult. So maybe that experience, maybe you had a similar experience to mine. And so it's hard to grasp how important or how amazing God's love for you is. He is the perfect Father. He's not going to fail us. He loves us with an unconditional, amazing, wonderful love. That's one of the reasons that I thought of. The second reason that I thought of why it's so hard to experience the Father's love is because of the orphan spirit. Now, maybe you haven't heard that phrase before, but let me explain that, what the orphan spirit is. Do you remember when Satan, before he became, you know, the evil being that he is, you know, God created him as an angel. And he was in heaven, and because of what we read in the Bible, we believe that he was the one in charge of the music in heaven. But he was filled with pride and he got cast out of heaven. Okay, God cast him out of heaven. So in that moment, he was separated from God. He was separated from the love of God. Satan became the first orphan because he was separated from the love of the Father. And because he was separated from God's love, from God's presence, he still wants, and he will do everything in his power to keep you and I and every human being separated from the love of the Father. He deceived Adam and Eve so they could be separated from the Father. And the main thing that Satan uses, that the orphan spirit uses, is his lies. He is the father of lies. He uses lies to separate us from the love of the Father. Now, we have a list here of what the Father's blessings are. This is what we receive from the love of the Father. We receive freedom. We receive acceptance, abundance, healing, respect, honor, blessing, assurance of salvation. This is what we can experience with God's love, with the love of the perfect Father. But what is the orphan spirit? Through his lies, he brings fear to our lives. I mean, with all this COVID stuff, how many people were fearful of what was going to happen? And there still is that fear in some people. With things going on in Europe and, you know, with Russia and Ukraine, there is fear in people. And the orphan spirit is using that so that we can be separated from the love of the Father. The orphan spirit brings rejection, poverty, hurts, wounds, pain, abuse, dishonor, curse, fear of death. I've met people that are scared of dying because they don't know. They don't want to leave this place. They feel safe here, but they're afraid of dying. This is what the orphan spirit uses. He uses all of these lies. He lies to us about who we are in Christ. He lies to people, even those that are still not in Christ, about who they are, their identity. We read so much of the LGBTQT and all of those other letters, X, Y, Z, that you can add. He lies to those people about their identity. You know, maybe there are some here that have been listening to the lies of the orphan spirit. Maybe you have felt that fear or that rejection or abuse. Maybe you have been lied to and have been labeled with many different things. We all have labels. That's a fact. Now, some labels are good, some labels are bad. I mean, so my first label, I'm going to share this with you. My first label was given to me by my grandfather. My grandfather, he also he grew up as a Catholic, a very strong, willed and strong personality, and kind of a tough guy. Which, by the way, I'm Mexican. If you probably didn't, know, I'm not from here. But so that's who he was. He came to know Jesus, and God really changed him. And so he always said that he never gave nicknames to his grandkids until I came along. I was the first. In my mom's side, she had 12 siblings, so she was 13. I was the first child of one of his daughters. So he had some sons. They had already had children, but none of his daughters had had children until I was born. And so the nickname that he gave me was Chico Lin, which in Spanish is Chico Lindo, which means cute boy. Okay? Apparently, when I was born, I was cute. You know, things changed. I don't know what happened. But that was my first label, okay? But as I grew older, I received some other labels. And, as I said, I was bullied when I was in school. And some of those labels that I received was Four Eyes. I also received the label of Fatso and Nerd and Geek. I received the label of Not Good Enough, Not Athletic Enough. You know those times when they pick teams for baseball or for kickball? I was the one that was like, okay, well, you're left, so I guess you're on my team. I received the label of not popular, not likable, and I could probably go on with all those negative labels. Thankfully, as I continue to grow up, God continued to work in my life, and I received some other labels, which was keyboard player, play the keyboard. I received the label of ESL teacher. I used to teach English in Mexico for a job. Then a really good one is a really good label I received was husband to my wife Miriam. And then I received the label of worship pastor. And then another great one was dad to my two girls. And so you see, we all have labels. Not all of them are bad. There's probably farmers here. There's probably teachers here. There's dads. There are dads here, moms, grandparents, etc. We all have labels. But none of those labels give us our identity. And I want to encourage you, even the young people here, don't listen to what others say about you. That's not your identity. Your identity in Christ is that you are a son or daughter in Jesus Christ. Because what if they took all of those labels away? What if for some reason I couldn't play the piano anymore? What if for some reason I don't want this to happen, but my family wasn't with me anymore? My wife or my girls, then they would take away the husband label, the father label, the keyboard player, the worship pastor, etc. What if they took all of those away? I would still be a child of God. I would still be a son of God. That's our true identity. That's my identity, and I hope that you are sure that is your identity. You are a son or a daughter of God. Now, how do we become children of God? Because there are people in this world that say, well, we're all children of God. I mean, He created us. Well, we're all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Only the people that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior are children of God. What does the Bible say in John 14:6? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Only when you put your faith in Jesus Christ can you be adopted as a child of God. Adoption. Adoption is not an easy process. I don't know if you have gone through that process or you know someone who has adopted a boy or a girl, but I have talked to different people. I mean, even just Karen. She adopted a boy from India. And if you talk to those people, they will share with you how difficult that process can be, how long it can be. It takes time. It takes money. It takes endless paperwork that you have to fill out. And some people have shared with me, it's like an emotional roller coaster, because sometimes things are going well, but then sometimes things, you know, they take a turn for the worse. But at the end of the whole process, all of those people that have adopted can say, it was worth it. When they have that little boy or girl in their arms or with them, they say that process was worth it. It's a difficult process of adoption, but it was worth it. Now, God did the same for us. John 14:18 says, Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you as orphans. You know, I thought about this. He could have used any other word. I will not leave you as slaves. I will not leave you as sinners. I don't know. He could have used any other word. But the word he chose to use was, I will not leave you as orphans. Why? Because he wants you to experience the love of the Father. Jesus knew that Satan was going to be hard at work to make us believe that we are all orphans. But when we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says in Romans 8:15, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, when He adopted you, when He took you in as His child. And now we can call Him Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit only resides in those that have come to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Book of Ephesians 1, it says that when we believed in Christ, He identified us as His own by giving us the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit inside of us is saying, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. God's Spirit, the Spirit Himself, as Romans 8:16 says, testifies with us, with our spirit, that we are children of God. So our Heavenly Father paid the ultimate price to adopt us into His family. And that was the death of Jesus Christ. If we read in the Gospels the stories of Jesus, we can read that every time that Jesus talked to God, He referred to Him as Father. There was a very special relationship with Jesus and the Father. But as I said before, God paid the ultimate price so that we could become His children. And something that Fred Hartley shared with us in Atlanta that I want to share with you today. The only time when Jesus did not refer to God as Father was when He was hung on the cross. Remember, when Jesus was hung on the cross and was crucified, He took on the sin of the world. He took on our diseases, so that we could be healed through Jesus Christ. But He also took with Him the orphan spirit. Because in that moment, it was the only time when Jesus did not refer to God as Father. As Matthew 27:46 says, at about 3:00, Jesus called out with a loud voice. And He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did not say Father. Why? Because in that moment, the Father had to turn from Jesus. He had to leave them there on the cross because of all the sin that Jesus took upon Himself. He couldn't look to His Son as His Son. And Jesus was forsaken by God. Why? So that you and I would never be forsaken. So that you and I would not have to experience the orphan spirit. So that you and I, through Jesus' sacrifice, could be adopted into the family of God and be called His children. The Bible says in Colossians 3:3, it says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we come and we are hidden in Christ. Now let me do this illustration. Randy, can you come up? All right. We're going to pretend for a brief moment that Randy is Christ, is Jesus. Okay, so why don't you stand a little bit here. Okay, let me give you an illustration of this passage. We are now hidden in Christ. When we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are hidden in Christ. And so when God turns to see us, when God turns to see me, he doesn't see Ricardo, he sees Jesus. So all the love and the compassion and the grace and the mercy that he has for us, he's not seeing us, he's seeing his son Jesus. And that's why he loves us so much, because we are now hidden in Christ and he sees Jesus. We know that God loves Jesus, right? So in the same way that he loves his son Jesus, he loves us. Thank you, Randy. That's what this verse means. We are now hidden in Christ. So next time that you think, oh, I'm not good enough, he's not seeing you. He's seeing Jesus. The next time you think, I don't deserve the love of God, he's not seeing you. He's seeing Jesus. We are now hidden in Christ. We are adopted into the family of God through Jesus' sacrifice. So now what? Well, it's time to come to the Father. It's time to come to Abba, Abba Father. And what I want to do today is I want for all of us to break off that orphan spirit. I don't know what situation you're in right now, but as far as the Father's love, but I want us to all come and experience the Father's love. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to break off the orphan spirit. We have received authority through Jesus Christ to speak to Satan and to rebuke him. And so what I want to do is I would like you to stand. I know this might be out of your comfort zone, but I want to invite you to stand. And with that authority that we have in Jesus Christ, I would like for you to repeat after me. And don't close your eyes, because we're not praying. We're making a proclamation, okay? So I want you to say, Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You spirit of orphan, I break you off me right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and loose myself from your influence now and forever. You be gone from me. You go to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, never to return to me again. I am free from you now and forever. That's right. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we proclaim that. Now I would like to guide us in receiving the love of the Father. And for this, I do want you to close your eyes and think of the Heavenly Father. Have that picture in your mind. And I'd like for you to extend your hands, like if you're receiving something. And repeat this prayer after me. Loving Father, right now I receive your Holy Spirit of adoption in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I claim my inheritance as a child of God. I receive not only the fullness of your salvation, I also receive the assurance of my salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am blessed. I am forgiven. I am adopted with all rights and privileges. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Yes. Give him praise.